Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
The 2019 North American Youth Congress, or NAYC, was a tremendous event. We're still getting more miracle reports, but we have the following. Almost 37,000 people gathered in St. Louis, Missouri for the event. Over 1,000 were baptized with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, including some staff and security at the Dome. And many were water baptized in Jesus' name in hotel swimming pools. Thousands of people were physically healed, miraculously, including wheelchairs emptied and one report of a cancerous tumor literally falling off. We pray this great revival will spread like wildfire to every corner of all of our cities here in North America and throughout the world. We want to bring you, in a multi-part series, the message preached on Friday night of the NAYC by Reverend Matthew Tuttle. The title was, You Can't Measure a Miracle. This is part one.
Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. For a few minutes, as we close out North American Youth Congress 2019, I want to preach, you cannot measure a miracle. You can't measure a miracle. Look at your neighbor, high five them, say, you can't measure a miracle. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. And I pray now, Lord, that you would anoint me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet to deliver, Lord, to the very best of my ability to this wonderful group of young people. Father, I pray that your word would penetrate into our hearts, that our lives would be transformed and forever changed. We are not satisfied to return home in the same manner in which we walked in the building. But Lord, we want you to transform us, to challenge us, to convict us. But most importantly, Lord, change us in the wonderful name of Jesus. And together we say, in Jesus' name, say it like you know who he is. Say it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. High five two more people better looking than yourself. Tell them the devil's in for a bad night. I saw some dudes high-fiving dudes. That was a chance of a lifetime. You missed it. You will receive a ruler. Be handed to you here momentarily. Just keep it in your hand. But what a privilege it is to be. If you're still excited about what God is about to do in this room, one more time, put your hands together and give God great praise. I pastored in the Netherlands for 5 years. I'm a missionary's kid. I was raised in the Netherlands. And I had the privilege to pastor the church that one of the churches my dad pastored prior to me. And I was talking to a young lady in our church that was studying neuroscience, and she told me about the different ways that they would study the brains of various animals. She said, one of the things we'll do is we will take a little mouse and put it in a little black box, put it on this contraption, and then spin it around and then stop the contraption, open the box, and then cut the brain of the little mouse open, put a microscope on it, and see how the brain of this mouse, that's kind of gross. But it speaks to the nature of who we are. We like to know how things work. And so we get telescopes and microscopes, and we study our universe. We know how fast light travels and the source of thunder. We know the distance from Earth to the sun. We know the topography of the moon. We can transplant a heart from one human to another. It is knowledge that has empowered us. We now have ships of iron that float on the water. We can take thousands of pounds of steel, cause it to fly thousands of feet above the earth. We study the cosmos and can explain cross-pollinization, and we know how things work. But my dear friends, no matter the power or the strength of the lens of your microscope or the length of your telescope, the simple truth is this: you cannot measure a miracle. I said you cannot measure a miracle. But since man cannot understand God, we as a culture have rejected him. And so we live in a generation that knows more about creation than any other generation prior to this one. And yet they know less about its creator. Because in order to study God, you must attend the school of faith. See, the greatest gift that God has given us is not our ability to learn, but our ability to believe. I said the greatest gift you have is not your ability to be educated, but your ability to believe. Jesus never compliments their education, but on numerous times you'll find him complimenting their faith. I'm not here advocating that you remain uneducated or do not attend school, but I'm here simply saying that if you are so smart you can't shout, you're really not very smart at all. Matter of fact, in Vida, we'd say you're just stupid. If you're so smart, come on, you can't shout. You've not found the purpose of living. If you're so wise, you can't worship. You're not very, hey, you know what the greatest, one of the greatest things that I saw happen here last night was when we saw our general superintendent, Dr. David Bernard, and his wife get up on the stage, and we saw a doctor with a degree that hadn't forgot how to dance. I said you can be a doctor, but you better never forget how to dance. We can be educated, but let us never forget that it's shouting and dancing and rejoicing and praising God that got us to this place. When's the last time you heard an intellectual unbeliever say, well, that's a miracle? They don't say it's a miracle. They say it's unexplainable. Or it's undiscovered. But the truth is, I remember when I was pastoring in the Netherlands, there was a man that came in. He had been addicted to heroin for 25 years, lived under the bridge. But he tried every kind of drug rehabilitation program that they had in the Netherlands. And he came in and received the gift of the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. He was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And God revolutionized his life. And he felt a call to preach. And next thing you know, God had called him to preach. He was preaching. He was playing the guitar. His name was Tone Schroeders. And Tone received the Holy Ghost. His life has changed. But he lived in this apartment complex, and he lived on the ground level, little one-bedroom apartment complex. One day, unbeknownst to him, his neighbor that lived above him who battled depression and who battled suicidal thoughts. She called her social worker and said, I'm going to end it all. I'm taking my life. The social worker quickly made her way to this lady's apartment, which was right above Tone's apartment. She went in, she said, and when she arrived, the lady was standing on a chair with a noose around her neck. She said, I began to try to talk her down and tell her, no, there's a reason to live, but I could tell I was not making any progress. At that moment, it was a summer day and the windows were open. Underneath her, Tone went outside. He had his little guitar and he began to sing a song. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, to break every chain. That lady said she took the noose off her neck and said, you know what? I think I want to live. That social worker went down to Tone and said, what is it that you've got? What is it? He said, you're going to have to ask my pastor. So the social worker came to church. She said, you guys are winning these drug addicts. Their lives are being changed. What is it that you are doing? And I said, well, we've got some little things we do. She said, what's the program? I said, you know, the bottom line is we don't really have a super big program. We've got Jesus. And the bottom line is you can't measure a miracle. When the lawyers reach the final page of their law books, when the psychiatrist books have come to an end, when the doctor's journal has no more cure, you can walk into a Pentecostal church and we've got the answer when the world doesn't have the answer. We've got the cure when the world doesn't have the cure. Come on, five little letters. J-E-S-U, Jesus. I wish I had somebody that believed in the power of the name of Jesus. We want to put God into our understanding. We struggle. We've got to fit him into our mental capacity. We measure everything. We measure ourselves by what we wear. We measure ourselves by where we go, whose social club we're in, what kind of cell phone we have, the designer label on our suit. You know, you're an Armani. We can be friends. You're a Gucci. We can be friends, but you're a George. Yeah, we ain't gonna be hanging out. The quality of the shoe leather, the degree hanging on our wall, the type of cell phone we have in our pocket. That's the world we're living in. Measuring every little thing. Well, where'd y'all go on vacation? And where we go on vacation becomes more important than the people we were with on that vacation. And the name of the degree on your wall is more important than what they're teaching you at the school, because it's all being measured up. But what scares me is that we bring our measuring mentality into the church. And you let praise get a little wild. And you let somebody start rolling on the floor. Yeah, we still roll on the floor where I go to church. It's what got us here. I said it's what got us here. You start letting somebody run the aisles. You start letting somebody shout and dance and get a little bit excited. And Mr. Measuring Tape, you know, they got their little measuring tape. Oh, it doesn't take all that. That's over the limits. You know why it's over the limits? Because you're walking around with something to set limits with. Come on, I said, if it's over your limits, it's because you're walking around measuring everything. Mr. Measuring, you know, they don't necessarily say it's over limits. They say things like, "Well, this is just a bunch of emotion. You guys are just a bunch of emotionalists," and they usually have like a British accent or something. Yeah, you're so emotional. And you know, for my whole life, we've been defending ourselves like, No, we're not emotional. No, this isn't emotion. No. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and concede that point to you, Mr. Measuring Tape. I'm emotional. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, when I think about the 18-wheeler that should have crashed into my... When I think that my great-grandfather beat my great-grandmother and I shouldn't have a family, when I think that I should be going to... Okay, you win. I'm emotional. Okay, you're right. I'm gonna cry. Hey, if God didn't want us to be emotional, why on earth did he give us emotions? I said, if it didn't want us to be emotional, why on earth do we have emotions? That's right, forgot. We got emotions so we get excited about basketball. We got emotions so we get excited about football. We got emotions so we get excited about Hollywood and all. Hey, I don't care who you cheer for. LeBron James didn't die on the cross. He can't save your sins. Steph Curry's blood didn't wash you white as snow. I'll go further. They've never sent you a check. They've never healed your body. They didn't die for your sins. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul gets a little happy. The feet begin to dance. Hey, and I'm emotional. We don't praise God to attain emotional highs. But we do praise God out of emotion. In scripture, there's scripture for realizing that every emotion you have should bear a fruit. And so the emotion of love causes me to keep his commandments. the Bible says. And because I have hope, I'm patient. And because I'm sorrowful, I can repent of my sins. Thank God when conviction's preached, I'm emotional enough to let tears stream down my face and say, God, forgive me. Thank God for the emotion of fear causes me to depart from evil. I don't want to be lost. That's why there's some things I don't do. The emotion of joy bears the fruit of sacrifice. So there's an attack on your emotions. I said there's a fight for your emotions, and hell is doing everything it can all week long to drain you of your shout, to drain you. Come on, there's young people getting all crying and tears and snotting all over some show about two people that got divorced. They weren't even really married in the first place. It's all fake. Pour in your emotions. You got to guard your emotions. I said, you got to bottle up your tears. You got to guard those emotions so that when you come into the house of God and the joy of the Lord hits you, you begin to give sacrificially. When your heart gets pricked and tears start streaming down your face, you can run to an altar and repent. Guard them, guard them, guard them. Guard your emotions. I remember being youth pastor and had a young man came into my office. He like 15 years old or something. He come in. Oh, Brother Todd. Brother Todd. He's in my office. I'm like, oh God, this guy, his mother must have just passed. Something horrible's happened. I don't know what. He just lost his best friend. I get over there. I got my tissue box out. I'm like helping him blow his nose. I'm like, what's wrong, Bubba? He said, well, Angie just broke up with me, and it's our 3-month anniversary. What's up with y'all celebrating 3-month anniversaries like you've been married 50 years? My God. He bought you a snow cone, and you all. I said, Justin, I've never seen you cry like that in church. I see some of you sitting out there like this is some kind of entertainment show. Hey, come on, just let Sally break your heart. You'll get emotional somewhere. But I've come to preach to some young people in the house tonight. You've got your emotions bottled up. You say, keep the doors open all night long. I'm ready to dance. I'm ready to weep. I'm ready to shout. I'm ready to rejoice. So take the limits off. Hold on. We had 1,000 young people get the Holy Ghost here last night. I got pictures of empty wheelchairs on my phone. You go ahead for a few moments. Let's go ahead and be a little emotional about it. Go ahead and shout. Go ahead and dance. Go ahead and rejoice. Come on, somebody. This isn't a show. This is a celebration of what God has done and what he's going to do. But if you want to really get Mr. and Mrs. Measuring Tape ticked off, start preaching doctrine. You tell them there's one God and his name is Jesus. You tell him a man must be born again of water and spirit, or he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You tell him there's one Lord, that means there's only one God. There's one faith, that means there's only one way to believe in that one God. There are not many roads to a singular destination. There's only one way in. There's one baptism, and it's in the name of Jesus. Oh, that's so narrow-minded. That's because you've got something to measure with. But if you want to send them over the edge and put the measuring tape people to where they lose their mind, start preaching about holiness. Oh, you get them so ticked off so fast they won't know what to do with themselves. Well, I just don't know why we can't do that. It's just a bunch of rules that we can't wear that. It's just a bunch of rules that we can't go there. It's just a bunch of rules that we can't paint that. It's just a bunch of rules that we can't cut that. It's just a bunch. Your church is just a bunch of rules. You know why they're rules? Because you got a ruler. I said, you know why they're rules? Because you walk around with a ruler. They're not rules, they're walls. They're not here to keep me confined. They're here to keep us safe. They're not here to keep me in. They're to keep hell out. Holiness is keeping hell out. So I thank God. I said, I thank God for the wall. I said, I thank God for the wall. Pastor, don't move the wall. Well, I believe in holiness. I just don't believe in rules. See, the devil believes God's holy. You say, I believe in holiness. Yeah, every Christian believes in a form of holiness. Where you get in trouble is when you start defining holiness. Come on, somebody. But when your pastor defines it, don't you measure it. The wall isn't keeping me in. I'm glad there's a wall. Because, come on. If there was no wall, the watchman would be of no value. Thank God for the wall. Thank God there's a pastor that can get up on the wall, look into my future, and say, hey, Bubba, don't go there. Hey, Bubba, don't watch that. Hey, Susie, we shouldn't be doing that. There's an adversary that's coming after your soul. Thank God for holiness. Thank God for righteousness. We measure ourselves, we measure the church, until we start measuring God. And this leaves us frustrated. Because how do you measure as far as the east is from the west? How do you measure from everlasting to ever? How do you measure from glory to glory? Hey, friend, the truth is you can't, because you can't measure a miracle. You can't measure everlasting. You can't measure glory. You can't measure eternity. You can't measure God. I said, you can't measure glory. I said, you can't measure glory. I said, young ladies, don't be measuring your glory. Don't be measuring your glory. I wish I had some young ladies that would give God praise. There's some young men that would give him praise, because you love this great truth. If you see it, come on forward. So they come forward, and we got our little measuring tapes. What's your problem? Oh, you got a headache? Hold on. Good news, God can do headaches. What's your problem? Oh, you got an ingrown fingernail. Put your little finger on there for me, bub. Woo, he can do those. What's your problem? Oh, you're blind. You know what? I know a good C&I dog place down the street. Maybe we can get together and have a church fundraiser and get you one of them Belgian shepherds. I hear they're the best for the see it. See, the devil doesn't mind if you believe, as long as he sets the limits. The devil don't even mind you coming to church, as long as he sets the limits. The devil don't mind if you get excited about mercy, as long as there's limits to who gets the mercy. I've just come to tell somebody, you can't measure a miracle. You can't measure God's mercy. I don't care how far you've fallen. I don't care what you did. I don't care how bad you were. You can't measure miracles. You can't measure mercy. For we wrestle not against principalities, against powers. We wrestle against principalities, powers, and we wrestle against the rulers. The battle is not the people, but the number one weapon in the church today is the weapon of the ruler. Well, this is North American Youth Congress, and there's 40,000 or 37,000 people here, and you know, we're just a little home missions work, and you know, we don't have giant screens hanging from the ceilings in my church, so we can't have revival. We don't have a pulpit with a crown on it, so we can't have a revival. We don't have ninja cameras flying across the state. Hey, by the way, I forgot to tell the camera people, no aerial views. I'm balding here. Thank you. Wait, you need to zoom out a little bit further. You can still see a shine in there. Hey, look at that. I appreciate whoever it is that put an M in the carpet up here. My wife's like, that's not an M, that's a crown. I'm like, that M is from Matthew. I appreciate all that, guy. Y'all like, we don't have an M in the platform. We don't have crown. We don't have all the lights. We don't have a North American Youth Congress. We don't have popcorn during church and nachos and all that stuff. So we can't have revival. And what we'll do is we'll pour mouth our way right out of revival and feel justified about it. We got a little justifying comments like, well, we're in a small town. We're in a metro area, you know, they're rich. And, well, we're in the inner city, so they're too poor. We're in the Bible Belt, so that, you know, it's burnt fields. And we're in the north, so the people are too cold. Nobody wants holiness, and we just don't have enough money. Let me tell you something. We're never going to reach our world talking about our limitations. Small town doesn't mean small God. Poor people doesn't mean poor God. Burnt fields doesn't mean burnout God. It's not about how small your building is. It's not about how little your bank account is. It's about how big your God is. And you can't measure a miracle. I said you can't measure a miracle. North American Youth Congress, I believe the truth deserves to be preached from the biggest buildings in every city in America. Oh, you can feel it right there. You're like, yeah. Yeah, see, if I'd have said cancers can be healed, y'all would have went bananas. Because your generation has faith that you can heal. But don't have the faith that you can fill buildings. It is not just God's will that you have the biggest church in your city. It is God's will that you have the biggest buildings. I said, Pentecost needs to be the biggest building in your city. When they asked me to preach this meeting and word got out, people started texting and calling, and oh, Matt, you're going to be preaching to the largest group of oneness believers in North America in the history. It's going to be so big. We're expecting over 35,000. It's going to be the biggest meeting. It'll be one of the biggest church meetings, youth gatherings in North America and even the world. It's going to be big, maybe even 40,000. Some people are even saying 50. That's going to be so big. So I started praying, and I said, Lord, please, Lord, tell me what I need to tell the young people at this big meeting. I know it's big, and I know it's so large, and I need a word, God. And God said, there are 7 billion people that populate the planet. Tell my people, this isn't big.
That's all the time we have for now, but we encourage you to join us again next week at the same time as we continue this wonderful message. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.